guys. Where's Steve? Hello, Gray. Oh, we're supposed to have a topic. I'm supposed to have a topic. I don't have one. Okay, any questions? Anything you want to start out with? Oh, I love you. Okay. We choose our life. We write our own script in life. If we're fortunate enough that when we passed the last time we went into the light, we have the right then to write a script in this lifetime and what we want to accomplish, how we want to accomplish it, the people that will come into our lives, closure with some people, learning experiences. If we're not fortunate enough to go into the light after we pass and we get earthbound, then we carry with us all of the various traumas that we've gone through in life, the baggage that we've gone through in life, the emotions, the fears. And when we come into this lifetime again, we carry all that baggage with us, which actually, it doesn't allow us to grow and evolve like we should. It gets in our way. So in truth, you are the one that writes your own manuscript for your life. Now, if you want help, you can ask your guides if they could assist you to find your correct path for this lifetime. And you do it by simply stating, guides, I would please ask for help. I need help in finding my right path, the path that will gain me the most knowledge, the most evolvement, and I ask this to be done in the name of my Lord and Master Jesus Christ. And they'll begin to help you with your path. The major thing is everything that happens to you, if you look at it with what can I learn from this? What do I need to learn from this? What is my lesson? What's going on? What can I gain the most from this situation? That helps you evolve and grow, and it helps you to stay on your path, and it helps your guides to help you work through your path for your own highest evolvement. So it's reaching out spiritually, talking to God, talking to your guides being the Holy Spirits, and letting them know that you understand that this is a place of learning, a place of evolvement for you, and you're going to take advantage of it, and you want their help in doing so. That's the best way I know how. Tom, I know that because people talk about Americans as being very self-centered, we've done a fair amount of world travel, and what I found is it's not Americans that are self-centered. What I found is it's human beings that are self-centered. I found it everywhere. We are by nature self-centered. We're, as children growing up, it's all about me, 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 me. As we begin to evolve and grow, hopefully with our parents, they will help us to learn to share and to be about others as much as we are about ourselves. I think there's a healthy balance that we all need to find. And I think the balance is to be about others, but not at the point of sacrificing ourselves. I think we shouldn't put other people before ourselves, because if we do that, we burn out. We have nothing left to give. So I think there has to be this full circle. That's what my guides have taught me. There should always be a full circle. You give and you receive. You give and you receive. And what I found is it's a whole lot healthier to think outward rather than inward. I try not to think too much about self. I feel better about me when I'm working with somebody else, when I'm helping someone else. So I think it's a matter of the individual and probably the way we're taught and raised and the circumstances that we grow up in. There's a lot of people that expect everyone else to take care of them. And I think that's very, very unhealthy. I think that we should really recognize that we need to take responsibility for ourselves. We need to take responsibility for the choices and the actions that we've made and done, and that there are consequences to every choice and action. And I think that in society, in truth, I find America really does more of that than some of the other countries, surprisingly. It kind of depends on where you are and the society that you're raised in. There's so many societies in America. It is truly a combination of all over the world. So I think that it's kind of like when you get on an airplane and the oxygen drops, and they tell you, you put it on yourself first, your children second. They do that, they tell you that because unless you're okay, you can't take care of another human being. So I think that's what we need to learn here. And our personal evolvement is about that. It's about getting that balance. And in truth, all souls are absolutely precious to God. There's no one that's greater or lesser. It's surprising. Well, you should have been in Egypt with us. Yeah, it's all over the world. It's people. It's true. Well, healthy ego is a good thing. We have to be about us. We're all we have. In truth, bottom line is, we're all we have. We need to learn to take good care of ourselves. We need to set good standards for ourselves. We need to be honest. We need to be forthright. We need to be honest with other people. We need to send good messages to others and being a good example. I think that's very important for us to be good examples. But again, I say, if you sacrifice, you burn out. You have to be cautious. There has to be a good balance there, where it's that full circle of giving and taking. Yes, everybody wins. Exactly. That's when it's healthy. You've got a society where everyone's a taker, the society collapses. You have to have people that get in there and build. And then if you have a society where everybody works at what they do best, then you've got a healthy society and you've got a good balance. Kind of like tribal. You've got the hunters and the gatherers. The good points. How we get into America? Very interesting. Yeah. We are. I've heard it, but I don't believe it. Do you know what a vortex makes you do when you get in the middle of a vortex? Well, there are vortices. There are vortexes. Okay. There's three in Sedona. They open, they spin. They spin. They open, and then they close. And they open, and then they close. Okay, that's a vortex. The earth has natural vortices all over it and various parts of it. Okay? But there's not a big, gigantic one in Arkansas. Otherwise, we'd all be, I know I'd be spinning. I've stepped into vortexes, and they make me literally spin. Vortex is always circular. Make me counter or yeah. Interesting thought. Yes. Okay. Yeah, Tom. In truth, regular exercise, daily exercise, walking tends to be the best. Dance is very good. And eating a healthy, balanced diet. That's it. I'm not talking of their balance. In truth, spiritually, if you could sustain yourself spiritually, you wouldn't really even have to eat. Yeah. Spiritually speaking, for me, because of the work that I do, the mediumship and the psychic abilities, I have to have a steak. If I don't have a steak once every 2 to 3 weeks, my energy drops. It bottoms out. I had Dr. Jordan, who is a neurosurgeon here in the state, and he tested me psychically using different food, which I thought was kind of cool. He tested me on chicken, pork, steak, and fish. And he'd test me psychically after me eating, not in the same day, obviously. And what he found out was I worked the very lowest on pork. Next lowest was chicken. Fish was fairly high. Steak topped it. My psychic abilities just absolutely were fabulous. Absolutely. Healthy mind. Yeah. I don't know how to put this into words, but I think everyone's unique unto themselves. I think whatever they believe, if you really believe that this is a bad thing for you and you do it, it is going to cause you some serious trouble. My husband, he really believed that smoking was the worst thing in the whole world and that every time he smoked a cigarette, it was doing terrible damage. He's got COPD. I didn't believe it. And I was a fairly heavy smoker. I just didn't believe it hurt me in any way, shape, or form. And it didn't affect me one way or the other when I quit smoking. You manifest. It helps? No, it actually will actually do it. Yeah, I suppose you could do it without the formula if you wanted to, if you really believed it. Have you ever seen those people that drink arsenic in the church and have rattlesnakes and so forth, bite them and so forth, and it doesn't really faze them? And they take arsenic, drink it out of a jar. What you believe, you manifest. But you really have to believe it. It can't be, I want to believe it. You really, truly have to believe it. You've never seen that?
Yeah,
I wouldn't either. Because I don't know that I can believe it. Your mental diet is everything. Your emotional diet is everything. Absolutely everything. And I'm here to tell you, that is tough. Because you think about it. Okay, you're a human being. You're in your body. And you're trying to do everything you can to have a really good, healthy attitude about everything, right? And so a spirit attaches to you with their attitude and their emotional stuff. So then you're being affected. And you don't know there's any such thing as attachments. You don't have a clue. And then maybe two or three manifest, and not manifest, but attach to you. And they begin to manifest whatever it is that they died of, and you begin to have disease and illness. It's tough being here. People don't know this information. We don't know. We're not alone, gang. And then those with empathy, we get around people who are negative, and we have families where there's a lot of negativity, and we have to go and co-mingle with those individuals, and that energy rubs off on us and gets into our auric field. Then we got even more trouble. Then we go move to a place that the ley lines are really messed up, and that there's really negative energy in the house and the property. Maybe there's been a few battles that took place there, and then we're being affected by that too. My God, I don't know how we survive here. And we don't have a clue. And then we get affected by the energy of everything around us. Can you imagine? I lived in San Francisco. My God, I was affected by everyone and everything, and everyone's sitting on top of you or under you and next to you, and there's no personal space. Ah, New York? Ever been to New York City? Ah, 3 days. That's about it. It's weird. It's like the whole city, when I was there, it's like the whole city was committing a slow suicide. That's what it felt like to me. So we're affected by everything. But the whole point is evolvement and learning this stuff and learning how to protect yourself and seeking out those that can teach you. And that's a process in itself, because there's not a lot out there. It's all about money. Frustrating, very, very frustrating. I've been so fortunate in that I had my guides. And you are fortunate in that you have guides too. You don't have to come to me. You can go to your guides. And I've taught you 1,000 times how to do that. Anybody remember? You have to speak it. Ask them questions. When they speak to you, they speak in thoughts in your head. They're not out here. You don't. It's all the same. It's the hearing part is not ears. Yes. That's how it works. There's two right up here. There's only one up there. What happened to the other chair? Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Okay. When your guides speak to you, it's telepathy. It will be in thoughts in your head. And you have to learn the difference between your thoughts and theirs. Okay? That's why you ask them to come in to give you information. You have to always ask a question. They're not just going to pop in. You have to ask them to give you a word. You have to look up in the dictionary that's carrying the essence of what they're telling you.
She was freaked out. She was like, happened. I was like,
it does work. It does work. And the more you talk to them and the more they give you information, the more you can distinguish their thought pattern from your thought pattern. And after a while, you can distinguish if it's male or female. Because guides can be male and or female or both. You can have two guides that are males, one female, all females, all depends. Whatever's appropriate for you. But you have to learn to distinguish in your head. It takes practice. It's all the same. Hi. So glad you're here. You're fine. Not a problem. Yeah. I'll tell you what I do. That's all I can do. Number one, I'm not afraid of dying. Because I'm more afraid of just getting hurt and not dying. I don't want to do that one. The dying part's fine. I have no problem with that. Mainly because I've done it before. But, yeah. I ask the Band of Mercy once a year. And it would be a real good idea to do it like maybe on your birthday or the first of the new year or whatever you want to do it. Ask the Band of Mercy that when you do die, give them permission to take you directly into the light in the name of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like soul insurance. And it's free, yes. And do it once a year. If you want to do it more often, that's fine. You can do it more often. But I do it once a year. Because the thing is that when you do die, and we're all going to die, you may not know it. And more than likely, you won't know it. It is what it is. That's right. Don't get freaked out. It's just one of those things. It's no different than stepping out of your car. Yeah, well, you won't know when you've stepped out of your body unless you turn around and you see your body lying there. Bright white light. You look for a bright white light. And when you see it, do not pass go. You just go right into that light. And don't worry about the rest of it because they'll allow you to come back and say your goodbyes. You don't need to stay there for any length of time whatsoever, because there's nothing to learn from not going into the light, except that you learn always to go into the light very quickly. No, there is no reason. They will take you into the light, cleanse you, and you can come right back and stay for your funeral and, you know, comfort. But you're clean and you're safe. You're not in the vibration of the outer darkness and or fourth dimension. You're at a higher frequency. So it's a much better thing. That's a good question. Never thought about it. Yeah, you learned. Well, I guess you could learn what it would be to be a ghost. Well, I mean, if you want to stay and play ghost, I guess you could do that, but then you might not get another bright white light. So. Well, there's no real time. Okay, just checking. Dangling the carrot. It's a good question. Legion of Pan. The beauty about animals, when they die, they pretty much automatically go into the light unless they have been bound, like through black magic or something of that nature. But they go into the light automatically. And they're... Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And to ease their pain. Or to remove their pain altogether. Yes. Yes. Pan handles nature, period. And all aspects of nature, living and dying. are not. Your pets are, everything's, whatever's deemed appropriate is taking care of everything else. There are situations, and that's a good question, there are situations with hunters. I've had hunters who have been covered up with back pain, just lots and lots of back pain, and found out it was from the way they killed the animals. They gleefully killed and murdered animals, which gave the animal the right to attach to them, and they did with their little paws and so forth, causing them a great deal of back pain. I know that sounds really weird. Not a problem. Yes. If you don't do it maliciously, it won't. You're okay. If you do it maliciously, you're not okay. Well, yeah. But there are people that just truly love to kill. There are people that are dark, and there's every level of it. My father, who I love dearly, loved to shoot birds. Didn't matter what kind of bird. He just loved to shoot, kill. And he tried to get me to do it when I was a little kid. And I couldn't do it. And I wouldn't do it. I can't do that. I can't do the kill thing. I have a hard time even with bugs. You know, I just... Yeah, we do too. No. Unless you thoroughly enjoy killing bugs. I'm going to pull the wings off a spider, I mean, off flies and that sort of thing.
I have fire ants crawling all over me right now. I love killing fire ants.
No, they're not. They do their job. Everything is doing what they were created for. The problem is, man gets in their way.
What do fire ants mosquitoes? I have thought that.
Well, they spread stuff. Everything is food for something else. Everything is a part of something else. Well, yeah. So everything has a purpose. I'll show you some fire ant killer. Okay, let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Yeah.
I'm almost hesitant to ask this question, but it's burning a hole in what?
What is God? God is intelligence, and every single thing you see is a part of God. It's like the universe could be the bloodstream of God. The earth could be a cell of God. It's an intelligence, not an entity. I've asked my guides this, and there is no real word. Like God in Hebrew has 72 names, 72 different aspects. There's no real one name. And when I've asked to understand God, it's like It's like showing the earth as a cell in God's body, trying to show me an example, because God is unending, has no beginning, has no end. It's like the universe, and then going into universes, infinite. Infinite, both ends.
So when we pray to Father God,
Father, Mother, God, whatever. Because God has both male and female aspects. No. God is creator. Energy of thought. But we're co-creators. Not per se. Sorry. And I can't answer all those, because when you get exposed to really learning about, like, the Bible and how it was written and when it was written and when everything came together, and you get into Genesis and you get into the angelics, like the holy Sephiroths are creator angels. And like with Genesis, for instance, and what was it they said? And we made man in our image. You know, you go, wait a minute. Not my image, our image. And then you get into all the alien stuff, which is, they're all created by God. Everything's created by God. Which one's in God's image? I don't know. Be grateful that you are a part of that consciousness. That every human being, every animal, every tree, every aspect is a part of that consciousness. And that consciousness is aware of you, and you are aware of it, hopefully. Yes? Well, of course it's our soul. But which flesh? I don't know. I can't per se answer that question for you. Because you get into all the races. Well, the problem is it's so complex, it's simple. Yeah. Yes. 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 But then you go to other planets. and then they use their intelligence to create. So, you know, if you're speaking of image, or are you speaking of intelligence? I think it's really intelligence. I think that's what it is. You can't. You just... And I think it was done as simply as possible for the time frame for people to comprehend and understand. Well, yeah. Well, that's the problem. When you really get into the studying of the Bible itself, it really gets interesting. But I really think it boils down to, as Al says, the fact that we are conscious, intelligent, intelligence and capable of creating. And that's what God is, conscious intelligence that creates. So we are part of that. It's not some man sitting on a cloud somewhere. I don't think you... you would meet forms of that intelligence. Forms of that intelligence. Christ is a form of that intelligence, just as you're a form of that intelligence. It would depend on how much you were able to learn and evolve and grow. Yes, he said, what I do, ye shall do, and greater. Yes. 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 Okay. Okay. Word of knowledge. Faith. Faith is a gift.
To another gift of healing.
Yes.
To another the work of miracles.
Yes. Raising of dead, changing things, wine. You know, water into wine, that sort of thing. I've changed wine. Different wine. Into a different wine. Is that not cool? It's relatively simple. See, yeah, prophecy is the knowing of the future events. But prophecy is for the purpose of making those, not for those events to come into effect, but to change the events. Some do, some don't. Yes. There's been problematic with that. There's the speaking of tongues, which is angelic tongue, which does occur. I've seen it happen. But unless you have an interpreter there, like in a church situation, if you don't have an interpreter there, it becomes evil. It goes more than that. It's the ability to understand other languages, literally, without ever knowing them. Yeah. It happens from, it's not anything, it just, it happens. Yeah. Well, that goes back to the angelic, to be the interpreter of the angelic tongue. Discernment is also one of those. That's discerning the spirit. Yep. My guides had me go there to understand the gifts. There are like 9 gifts. Probably from past life. My daughter spoke in Yiddish when she was 2 years old. It happens. It can be past life memory kicks in. It can be interpretation can happen. No, it's just you just know the you know what they're saying. It's as if they're speaking in English. So, but yeah, the gifts are very interesting, and we all have some gifts. A lot of us get the gifts get knocked out of us as we get over the age of 6 because it's not accepted in society. We're not supposed to be different. Yes. That's their past life carryover memory. Their talent. That is their talent. There are gifts and there are talents. God. You have faith that God does exist. No more complications. No. That's okay. Absolutely. Pardon? God is the source of all. Guides help to bring information to you from source, from God. They're teachers. They are your personal teachers and comforters. When Christ ascended, He left us with guides, the Holy Spirits, as our teachers and comforters. Yeah. 40 days. Yeah. Well, I'm not entirely sure. Well, kind of. After the crucifixion, he came back. And he came back for 40 days. Okay? And he taught and he traveled and he showed the proof.
Was he in flesh?
He was in flesh. He appeared to be in flesh.
Did he do that go through his
body? Apparently not. Because Thomas was able to put his fingers into the side where he was pierced. So, and his hands, or wrists, or whatever it was. No. But he came back after he was 3 days in the outer darkness, where he opened up for the light for every soul that chose to go into the light. And he is the light, by the way. Every soul that chose that light can go. They were no longer bound into hell. Then he came and he taught and he traveled. And then upon the ascension, apparently he went to this top of this mound, or I'm not sure if it's hill or mound. And he ascended. He checked out.
And he created the light.
Yes, he did. What, Al? Yeah. Apparently not. He gifted humanity with the Holy Spirit, or spirits, your teachers and your comforter. That was his gift to us. Apparently they've always kind of been there. Yeah. As far as I know, as far as I remember. back when. They're not the same. They can communicate, yes. But it's a spiritual community. And they all work for the common, yes. But there are different jobs, different duties, different authorities that they have. Legions. Yes. Yes, absolutely. But your guides are really and truly your teachers. And they can teach you anything you need to know, anything you want to know. You have to ask them. You have to talk to them. You have to question them. Yes. Although... Yeah, I've used them for all sorts of things, actually. Yeah, I mean, I can ask for a cooking guide if I choose. You know, there's all sorts of things. You can ask for guides of whatever you need. Isn't that awesome? You're welcome. The things that I'm teaching you, you can actually use. But you have to do them. It's not enough for it to roll around up here. You need to use it. Make it work for you in your life. That's why I'm teaching it. Application, absolutely. I've got to set a date for the class. I was going to do it the latter part of this month, but I think we're going to probably take it into October. Carol Francis, you do not have to be here for this. I can have Renee come in to help me. And I don't think she's taken any of the classes, so it might be good for her to come in and do this. I only need a helper deal with the cash register and all that sort of thing. I can handle the class, but I think we need a, which would be better, a Saturday or a Sunday? Saturday? Okay.
Better get our
schedules
because I'll be out of town.
So how?
The 19th.
Is there a week in between?
I'm here for
the
19th.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you. I'm thinking about going ahead and doing the ESP and paranormal, and then doing a healing workshop. And I will do the mediumship with the ESP and paranormal.
You mean
on
the same day?
Yeah, ESP and the paranormal, same day, and healing different day, different workshop. Yeah, because it's too involved. Both of them are too involved. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like recently?
I didn't die. I was dying. I was dying. 93? 93. I know. I just couldn't. They wouldn't let me. I had a surgery, and unbeknownst to them, there was an area of 5 inches that they didn't bother to stitch up, so I was bleeding to death. And, yeah. I think probably. I got the thing for free almost afterwards. Yeah. Yeah, so they had to do back-to-back surgery. But what happened was after the first part of the surgery, and it was at St. Vincent's, it was a partial hysterectomy was what it was. And I had a hernia, which they didn't fix all the way. And all of a sudden, I was like feeling really, really good. Really, really happy. And all of a sudden, I was like really, really bleeding. Really bad. Like, you know, like a gusher. And I was feeling better and better and better and happier and happier and happier. And they came in and they freaked out and they're going, "Oh my God, oh my God, you're bleeding to death." I'm going, "It's fine. Don't worry about it. No, 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 you need another surgery." "No, I don't. I'm fine." They said, "But you're dying. You're going to die if we don't do something." I said, "It's fine. I'm enjoying this. It feels wonderful. I like this dying business." I said, "I do not need another surgery." They're going, "We have to call the doctor now." "I don't want it." And I fought him. I was very, very peaceful. It felt wonderful. If you ever have to die, bleed to death. Well, when you die. So I'm feeling better and better and lightheaded and just, and I'm super light, and I'm like slowly kind of sort of leaving my body, and I am so happy, and I'm going to just go, and this is all done, and y'all can do whatever you want. And they put me in the stupid operating room. I came back, I woke up, and there was a nun that came in to see me. And she said, "I want to know why you weren't afraid to die." "What? You're a nun." She said, "I know, but you weren't afraid to die. You had no fear whatsoever." I said, "I believe in God. I don't believe in death. I believe in life after death, and I felt wonderful. And I think dying was just absolutely fabulous." She had a really hard time comprehending where I was coming from. She said, "You believe in God that much?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. And you should too." All guilt. So yeah, I did, and I'll tell you, it was really, really wonderful. It was one of the better things I've gone through.
But you don't recall
seeing anything?
Yeah,
I mean, I saw all kinds of things when I was in the hospital. There was a little girl that came in to see me. She was so cute. She was adorable. She was a spirit. Well, yeah, I did know about that. And I couldn't do anything because it's not my turf. It's not my authority. It's not my place. She did come to see me. She really did. So I did what I could do, as much as I could. There was a whole bunch of people that came to see me. Yeah. Yeah. My doctor, God bless her, she understood. She said, "Are you okay? Is anything going on?" I said, "Oh, I got a bunch of people coming to see me, doctor." She did. She did. She understood. Yes. Yes. They had asked for help. No, she was not. I tried to.
Yeah.
Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can do that. She never really stayed long enough for me to do very much. She'd come in and look at me and check on me, and then she was gone. I don't know. She was really cute. She was a little, she had a little pinafore, really old fashioned, you know, and yeah, she'd been there for a while. So I asked that she be helped. I asked that, you know, the Band of Mercy to help her if it was appropriate and if they could do something. I always do that wherever I go, whatever's appropriate. I've learned to stop trying to get everybody into the light. Doesn't work. Ah. It's break time. Yes. People that go through near-death experiences come back psychically awake. Very enhanced psychically. Very aware of energy and that there's nothing that's inanimate, that everything has consciousness, and I don't know how to put it. There's a book over there, H.P. Atwater wrote it. I think it's called Coming Back to Life. She went through, I think, 3 near-death experiences, and it changed her really dramatically. And she talks about it and how she had to give her mink coat a burial. It tends to kind of... There have been some negative, really, really negative situations where the person found themselves in hell or in a form of hell that had a major wake-up call to it. And when they came back, they decided maybe they ought to straighten their life up a little bit. That has happened. Some of them have had situations where they've been, their relatives or whomever meets them on the other side tells them, you have to go back, it's not your time. But then they know there is life after death, and that's very peaceful for people because they realize that there's no such thing as death. It's all different. It's all unique unto the individual, although there are a lot of patterns. Any last minute questions? We do a break and then we'll come back. Okay, we do break.